All right, tonight I'd like to invite you to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 17 and verse 14. Jeremiah, chapter 17 and verse 14. Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 14 reads this way. It says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight, once again thanking you for the privilege of assembling together as your body of believers, Lord, your local New Testament church. Lord, we just pray for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds, that you might open up the scriptures to us, give us wisdom and understanding, that we might walk in your way and your will. And Lord, that we would be the witnesses you've called us to be, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply, "For Thou Art My Praise." And we'll look at here considering the purpose of praise. What is really praise all about? And that's what God wants us to understand, because as we understand what He's worthy of, why, my goodness, we're going to praise Him and thank Him for all the things that He has done for us. In this particular case, we find here that there is healing and salvation. Amen? We can praise the Lord for salvation, can't we? We can certainly praise Him for healing as well. We thank the Lord every time He does that. And in fact, as we consider this text tonight, we are going to see some positive things, but we're going to see some negative things that will keep us on the positive side, right? So we can learn positive things by people that do the right things and do the good things. And then we can also learn by the negative things, people that don't do the right things. We don't want to have their predicament. We don't want to fall into their calamity or have their problems that they have. So this is what's happening, taking place here in the life of the people of God, Israel, here. And I want you to see something here just for a moment, and I want you to see where they're at as we approach this. Well, let's look at it this way. Look at verse 1 here, and we're going to look at two thoughts tonight, simply two thoughts. The diabolical detriment of sin, and that has to do with diabolical is something evil, something that brings disgrace, and of course a detriment is something that causes harm. And so this is the situation that they were brought into. In fact, the word diabolical has the idea of evil concerning the devil, right? So it's pretty serious when you use that word diabolical here. And then the second thought is going to be an important dependence on the Lord. And that's what the Lord wants us to understand and see here. But before we get started, I want you just to turn back a little bit, and I want you to see where the people of God are at. Look at chapter 16 here of the book of Jeremiah. And I want you to look at verse 10, and I want you to see what the Lord's grievance is. He's talking to the people of God, and he's saying some things to them. He says, "And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt show this people all these words, and they shall say unto thee," so this is the prophet Jeremiah, he's going to say these words to Israel, and he's going to say, "Listen, you guys have turned away, you guys have gone in the wrong direction, and they shall say unto thee, wherein hath the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us?" In other words, why is he doing this? And they know why, but obviously they're acting like they don't know why. "Or what is our iniquity, or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God?" They're acting as if they don't even know why in the world is he doing this to us, and they have blatantly walked away from the Lord, right? And so that's a bad situation to be in. We don't want to allow our hearts to be that hard, amen? They got caught up in things that they shouldn't have been caught up in. And so the Lord is going to encourage us tonight to not get to that place in our relationship with the Lord. And the way to do that is to have a close walk with the Lord. How do we have a close walk with the Lord? Well, everything that God says is good, we should say it's good, right? And everything that God says is wrong and evil, we should agree with the Lord and stay away from those things. Hey, if it's evil, if it's against the Lord, we don't want any part of that. So notice what happens here in this diabolical detriment of sin. What happens when the heart gets to this degree? Look at verse 1 of chapter 17. He says this. He says, "The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron." That's a hard substance, isn't it? It's written with a pen of iron and with a point of a diamond. Boy, listen, so we're carving into something here, aren't we? We're doing this thing and it's being carved into. So this sin, he's saying here, of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. So notice this, it is
graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altar. So it's graven. When you engrave something, you can't erase it. It's not erasable, is it? Now, it's not saying that they can't come back, but it's something that is almost permanent, isn't it? People used to write their names in trees. You remember, so-and-so plus so-and-so. You can't just erase that, can you? You have to come there on purpose to get rid of that, and it takes a lot of work. I had a nephew of mine that went and visited the Arch, and he went over there, and he was, I don't know, was he a teenager? He was a teenager, and anyway, I don't know if you've ever been to the Arch, but people engrave things on the Arch in that steel. They engrave stuff. So I guess he had a girlfriend. Did he have a girlfriend at that time? And so he thought he'd put his initials. That's what everybody else was doing. He'd put his initials. Well, he did it right there. Was it a police officer or cameras? So the camera saw him. So the security came out there and took him to the side and gave him a $200 ticket. But that was an expensive engraving, So note to self, if you ever go to the Arch, that's not what you want to do. They have cameras and are watching out. But listen, once you put something on that's engraved, it's not easily removed. And I guess they thought that down at the Arch, too. It's not easily removed. Don't deface the government property here. And by the way, let's not deface our hearts before our God, because our hearts should belong to the Lord as well, right? And so as we consider this, understand this is something that is embedded in their hearts. And notice this, verse 2. Whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. And this is false worship here. O my mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. In other words, this is going to be wasted. This is something that is for naught. It's not something that's going to be long lasting. It is deterring them away from the Lord, but it's something that, listen, when you start a bad habit, it's hard to quit it. So I tried, I've always told my kids, I said, listen, if you don't start something that you don't want to get wrapped up in, it's better that you don't, because it's a whole lot harder to quit things once you start them. And so God wants us to realize when it comes to, kind of excusing things and allowing things, it leads our heart down a dark path. And the Lord says, don't go down that path because it'll rob our hearts from the Lord. Look at verse 4. And then thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee. So this is the Lord talking to them, and they are losing their heritage, right? That should be going down to their posterity. So he says, you're going to discontinue the heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not, for ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. So the Lord takes these things pretty serious, doesn't he? He's jealous over his people. Isn't that good, though? God loves us, and he cares about us. So he says, be careful that you don't go down the wrong path. Stay on the right path. And by the way, that causes, it's the Lord's will anyway, right? That we stay on the right path. And so we should call upon the Lord because he wants to answer that prayer. When we pray to the Lord, we honor him. We say, Lord, I am taking my time because I know you hear and you answer prayer. And Lord, I need you. I'm saying that for myself. I need the Lord that I might walk upright. I'm not going to trust myself. I want to trust the Lord and his strength and his direction and his gentleness and his kindness. And he is faithful to all that will call upon him. He answers, right? He says, if you seek me, what will happen? You will find him, won't we? And if we call upon him, he will answer. And so so this is the situation where Israel is at. But now we want to change paces here a little bit and realize that, God is wanting to do a work in our lives. But before we do that, look at verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. And notice, whose heart departeth from the Lord. He says, listen, the one that trusts in man, their heart is going to be removed from the Lord. And by the way, it's not necessarily the Lord that's doing that, but as we put our trust in man, we're taking it away from the Lord. And so sometimes sometimes there are situations in life where we need to make a choice. Who is it that we want to honor? Do we want to honor the Lord, or do we want to honor mankind without the Lord? And so do we want to walk in God's ways or man's way? And of course, we want to walk in the Lord's way. And sometimes we need to be bold in making a stand. And in spite of maybe the world being there, and maybe they might say something that might embarrass us because we would be like the only one maybe in opposition to what everything that's taking place is going on. But if it's against the Lord, I'd rather have the world mad at me than to have the Lord be upset with me. I'd rather be on the Lord's side than on the world's side. And here's one thing I know. I need to pray and ask the Lord to give me a heart like that. And I need to ask him to do that every day. Because here's what we have. We have a mortal, fallible heart that can mislead us. So we need to be careful about that. Look at verse 6. For he shall be like a heath. And this word heath means destitute. In the desert, and shall not see when good cometh. Isn't that amazing? They're going to be like a destitute person in the desert, and they won't even be able to see when good comes. Notice, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and notice, in a salt land and not inhabited. That's not the kind of place I want to be in. How about you? I'd like to be where I feel like I am flourishing. I don't have to have the external things, but I certainly need the things from the Lord that bring true peace and true fulfillment, contentment, and purpose to life. Listen, I will never forget the day I got saved and realized, you know what? There is eternity. Isn't that something? And I know that God has given to me eternal life, and I know that the best for every believer is yet to come. What a day that's going to be when we look into the Savior's face, face to face for the very first time, and then for all eternity. I can't even fathom what that's going to be like, and yet we're all going to be praising and worshiping the Lord. Truly, he is worthy of all of that, but guess what? He's worthy of that even now, isn't he? And we can start right now and be drawn closer to the Lord in doing so. All right, now, verse 7 here, as we consider this is the important dependence on the Lord. And notice what he said. It sounds like Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, notice, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. That's good, isn't it? When there's a tree that is planted by the water, those roots know exactly where to get the nourishment, don't they? They have a full supply. You know, an individual who knows the Lord, that starts off their day in the Lord and calls upon the Lord throughout the day, they're like that tree, aren't they? They are being nourished, and God brings that nourishment that we need. He brings that confidence that what we're doing, listen, is the right thing to do. We don't have to wonder about it. God brings that. Notice this. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, or has faith in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. The Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. That's good. But her leaf shall be green. So the tree is growing even in harsh conditions. Even when it's difficult, there is growth. And you know, that happens. That's true really in the life of the believer. When trials come, and it's not that we want to pray for trials, but when trials come, we put our trust in the Lord. Lord, you are going to work this out for my good. You know, it's never too late to trust in the Lord. Even if you say, you know, sometimes I get upset when things don't go my way. I know that's never happened to anybody but me in this room, but sometimes I get upset when things don't go my way. And then what I'm doing when I get upset is I am forgetting that God has allowed this into my life, and I just need to be patient and trust the Lord. So Lord, allow me, enable me to see it coming. Amen. In other words, when a trial comes into my life, Lord, you are on the throne, and you have allowed this into my life. We have plenty of biblical example, do we not, when the Lord brings a trial into the life of the believer, that we're to trust him. Paul, the apostle Paul, had all kinds of trials. My goodness, he was shipwrecked, he was cold, he was naked, he was destitute, he was left for dead. My goodness, and yet when you listen to him, it if you didn't know better, you'd say he was having a grand old time, wasn't he? And he was, wasn't he? He really was. The Lord was making him all that he needed to be, wasn't he? The Lord was making Paul, the Apostle Paul, be what he wanted him to be. Question, will the Lord do that for you and I? Absolutely. Does he want to do it for you and I? There's only one person holding him back, because he will not infiltrate our lives, but he will be invited. And what is the Lord doing? He's standing at the door knocking. And if we will let him in, if we will open the door and let him in, he said he'll come in and sup with us. Wow, you remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus when the Lord had been crucified and they were walking and they didn't know that the Lord was resurrected already, and the Lord comes up behind them and overhears their conversation. He says, "What are you talking about?" And they say, "What are you, a stranger? You don't know about Jesus who was the Messiah, and we believe that, and he was the Savior, and he died, and today is the third day." And no flags went off, right? Today, I probably wouldn't have had the flags go off either. Today's the third day, you know, the day he said he would rise again. So finally, he's talking with them, and they get to their place, and they act like they're going to keep, or he acts like he's going to keep going. And they invite him in. These two disciples invite him in. And when they broke bread, they knew who it was, didn't they? They knew exactly who it was. You know why? They were talking about the things of God. And God drew near. You know, even in our disappointments, when we talk about the Lord, you know, we have the ear of God. Isn't that a good thing? As long as we keep the Lord in the picture, God is looking at us and wanting to encourage us and to build our faith. He's the builder of our faith. And so, again, here's this situation, and the tree is in a good place. And notice this, in verse 8 there, "And shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Even when the heat's out, even when things are difficult, the Lord is telling that the believer, he's using the believer as an analogy, as the tree. If we are rooted in the Lord, if we are planted in the Lord and seeking the Lord, we're going to be like that tree, that even when times are difficult, even when the heat is applied, we will bear fruit. That is the normal Christian life. That's not the unusual. That is what the Lord intended to be, the normal Christian life. Not the exception. And so God wants us to grow even when we have trials and difficulties. God wants us to trust him. And listen, when we have trials and difficulties, does the Lord want us to lose our cool, our temper? Does he want us to lose our joy, our peace? Or does he want us to have it, right? That he wants us to have it in the midst of those times. Why is that? Because he is our joy. He is our peace. And does he ever change? Isn't that good? He's not like the weather, amen? The weather's changing all the time. Our God never changes. So look at this here in verse 10. "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways." So which way are we going? Are we going the Lord's way, or are we going man's way? "And according to the fruit of his doings." So Lord, I want my fruit of my doings to be after you. And you know, if we ask the Lord for something like that, do you think he'll grant it to his people? Are you sure? You think he'll grant that? Absolutely. I know you guys are tired. Anyway, verse 11, notice. "As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool." So in other words, they're working for something that's never going to come to fruition. They're working for something that is never going to bring them what they're after. They're striving for something and it's never going to be there. But it is in the Lord, isn't it? We say, "Oh, listen, this is what we need." No, what we really need more than anything else is a vibrant, vital relationship with our God. So, again, he goes on and he says this, verse 12, a glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. And I want to do something here just for a moment. I want to back up to verse 9. And I want you to see what the Lord has to say about the heart. I make reference to this at different times. But notice what the Lord says in verse 9. The heart is what?
Deceitful.
Can you trust your heart? This is why, and I'm not against the old Disney movies. I don't know about the new ones, but I'm not against the, you know, follow your heart. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Because our heart, the Bible says right here, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And the Lord says, who can know it? Now listen, if we have a heart for the Lord, that's one thing. Then God will hold our heart. Lord, I want to give you my heart that you might shape and mold my heart according to your word and direct it according to your word and not according to how I think or how I feel, right? People say, well, I know what I think. People say, well, I know how I feel about that. Well, if it's in opposition to the word of God, there's a problem for that. And so the Lord wants us to be sure on our footing and where we stand. So drop down to verse 13 and notice what he says here. O Lord, the hope of... And by the way, listen, I want you to think about something here. But before we go on here, as we consider this, realize this. Israel is now in opposition to the Lord, and the Lord is working to bring them back. If there was no chance for Israel, the Lord would have washed his hands a long time ago and said, I'll just let them fail and fall and be destroyed. But the reason why that he's having his prophet Jeremiah to share this with the people is because he wants them back. He wants them to walk right with him. And so, and by the way, the reason why the Lord penned it down is for you and I also to consider our ways that we would walk upright before the Lord as well. So verse 13, he says, O Lord, the hope of Israel. And by the way, he's our hope also. All that forsake thee shall be ashamed. We don't want to forsake the Lord. And they that depart from me shall be written in the earth because... they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. So that's the water source. He is the one that brings true refreshment and nourishment to our souls. And then the last thought, notice what he says here. Heal me, O Lord. That's the conclusion of the whole matter, isn't it? We need the Lord. We need the healing of the Lord. Heal my thinking. Heal my understanding. Give me an appetite for the things of God. Make me hungry. The Lord tells us if we hunger and thirst after, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, that's one of the Beatitudes, shall be filled. That's the promise of the Lord. If we hunger and thirst, and if there's a problem with the hunger and the thirsting, we ought to call upon the Lord. All right, let's finish this up real quick. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and he's talking to Israel who's already saved, but what he's talking about is save me from my direction. Save me from going my way that I might go your way. Save me, he says, and I shall be saved. Why? For thou art my praise. Isn't that good? That's where the Lord wants us. If we will make the Lord our praise, thank you, God. That's what praise is, isn't it? We are thanking the Lord for all these things that he's given to us, beginning with salvation, and then a walk with the Lord, a relationship with the Lord. Get this. That never ends. God has started something that is eternal in your life and mine as a saved child of God that will never end. Is it not true? He will never leave us nor forsake us. On this side of eternity or on the other side, he will always hold us in his hands. Would you stand as we prepare for prayer? Again, what a great God we serve. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. And for the work that you want to do in our lives, may we open the door as you knock on the door of our heart to come in. May we invite you in and call upon you to guide us and to lead us in your paths. Bless us as we break off for prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.